Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, think about this. You see a ball rolling towards the edge of a table. You just know it's going to fall, right? It's automatic. That feeling, that's not just seeing. It's your built-in physical intuition. It's like this internal world model we all have, constantly predicting what's next. It's a really basic human thing, something we, barely even notice most of the time. So today, we're doing a deep dive into how artificial intelligence is trying to get that same kind of intuition about the world. Specifically, we're looking at Meta's pretty groundbreaking new world model. It's called VJP-A2.
Yeah, and what's really exciting here, I think, is that it's not just about teaching AI to, like, label objects in a picture. The real goal is much deeper. It's about understanding cause and effect, predicting what might happen, adapting. That's a huge jump, really. Moving AI from just, describing what it sees to actually interacting with the world in a meaningful way.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, our source is a really insightful article from Maker Perot. The title translates roughly to Meta's World Model: How VJP-A2 Lets Machines Imagine First, Then Act. It's by Owen Oh, published August 12, 2025. Our mission today for you is to pull out the absolute key ideas, the surprising bits about VJP-A2, so you walk away really getting what this is all about. Okay, so let's start with how we learn, how humans do it. Think way back. A baby shaking a rattle, right? They learn to expect the sound. Or us knowing that ball will drop. It's all prediction, isn't it? This kind of physical intuition. It's not like we're calculating physics equations in our head. It's just a survival thing almost. This internal model lets us simulate, okay, if I do this, that will probably happen.
And that's precisely the connection to VJP-A2. The ambition is to basically build that same fundamental human ability into an AI, giving machines that intuitive grasp of, how the physical world works. Which kind of begs the question, why now? Why this big push for world models when things like large language models seem so successful?
That is a really good question. And it brings us to a key player, Yann LeCun. He's the head of Meta AI, Turing Award winner, big name. And here's where it gets, well, pretty interesting. LeCun has been quite vocal. He's called current generative AI, the LLMs everyone talks about, he's called them a rebellion against the idea that they truly understand anything. He argues, look, they can string words together convincingly, give you reasonable answers, but they have zero real grasp of physical reality. They don't know a ball will fall.
Right. LeCun's philosophy is key here. He believes real intelligence isn't just about, like, copying pixels or predicting the next word. It's about understanding and predicting things at a more abstract level. He actually said something like, instead of predicting changes in every pixel of a video, it's better to learn to understand the cause and effect and dynamics of events at an abstract level, which is the foundation of intelligence. So that really sets the stage for VGP2 being different. It's not trying to paint the future pixel by pixel.
Okay, so if that's the philosophy, how does VGP2 actually do it? What's the mechanism behind this predictive power? VGPA, by the way, stands for Video Joint Embedding Predictive Architecture. Quite a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. The core of it is this two-stage training process. It's pretty clever. First stage, self-supervised video pre-training. Basically, the model just watches video, a lot of videos, like over 1 million hours from online sources, plus tons of images. And it uses this technique, masked latent feature prediction. Think of it like the AI watches a bit of video, then part of it gets hidden or masked. And the AI's job is to predict the hidden part, not the exact pixels, remember, but the abstract meaning of what should be there. It's essentially filling in the blanks about motion, about outcomes. So going back to your example, it sees the ball rolling towards the edge. It learns to predict the abstract concept of falling, even if the fall itself is masked in the video clip it's learning from. It builds that physical intuition through massive observation.
Okay, that makes sense. Learning by watching and predicting. But then the second stage, you said that was surprising.
Yeah, this part is really something. Stage two is fine-tuning with incredibly small robotic data sets. And when I say small, I mean small. Less than 62 hours of robot video from something called the Droid Open Dataset.
Wait, 62 hours? That's it? After millions of hours of passive video.
Exactly. It's tiny in comparison, like maybe a couple of days' worth of a robot doing things. But here's the kicker. With just that tiny bit of fine-tuning, VGP-A2 learns to actually control a real robot arm in the real world.
Wow.
Yeah. It starts generating paths for tasks, and it's constantly predicting the results of its potential actions, adjusting on the fly. And this is huge because it completely breaks from the old way, where you needed, massive amounts of human demonstrations showing the robot exactly what to do. This allows for what they call zero-shot task completion. It can potentially do tasks in new places it's never seen before, right out of the gate.
Okay, hold on. That jump from passively watching YouTube videos, basically, to controlling a physical robot arm with just 62 hours of specific robot data. How does that work? What allows it to generalize so well?
That's a million-dollar question, right? It points to this concept of generalization ability. And VJP2 seems pretty strong there. In Meta's own tests, they took the pre-trained model, did the quick fine-tuning, and then just deployed it onto Franka robot arms in two totally different lab environments. And crucially, with zero specific data collection or training for those specific labs, it had never seen them before.
Just dropped it in cold.
Pretty much. And the results were, well, pretty remarkable. It was getting between 65% and 80% success rates on standard grasp-and-place tasks. You know, pick something up here, put it down there. The source article even calls that almost human-level adaptability for an AI seeing the environment for the first time. That's a big deal.
65 to 80% first try in a new place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. But, okay, how does it plan those actions? You mentioned imagine first, then act. How does the imagining part happen inside the AI?
Right, so the planning process is where that imagination comes in. It works like this. First, it looks at the current scene where things are now and the target scene where it wants things to be. It converts both into these abstract semantic embeddings.
Embeddings like compressed representations.
Exactly. Highly compressed summaries that capture the important stuff, not every single pixel detail. Then, within that abstract space, that's where it simulates. It runs through multiple possible sequences of actions in its mind, so to speak, trying out different paths without actually moving the physical arm yet.
Okay, like mental trial and error.
Sort of. And finally, it uses a technique called model predictive control, or MPC. That helps it choose the best simulated path it found. And for longer, more complex tasks, it's smart enough to break them down. Like, okay, first sub-goal is pick up the block, then the next is move it over here, tackling it piece by piece.
That's fascinating. It really is building its own little simulation of the world. But then how do you test that? How do you measure if an AI really gets physical intuition or cause and effect? It's not like giving it a multiple choice test.
Good point. And Meta realized this. They actually had to develop new ways to evaluate these specific abilities, new benchmarks.
Oh, okay. What are they?
So there are three main ones they introduced. First is InPhys2. InPhys stands for Intuitive Physics. In this test, the AI sees two videos that look almost identical, but one of them subtly violates the laws of physics. Like maybe an object just floats up for no reason or passes through a solid wall. The AI has to pick the one that's physically impossible.
How do humans do on that?
Humans are nearly perfect, like 100%. Most previous AI models, they were basically guessing, close to 50-50. VJP2 does significantly better, showing it has some grasp of physics. Okay, second benchmark, MVP bench. This one also uses pairs of videos, but here the differences are really minimal visually. The trick is that those tiny visual changes have significant physical implications. The AI has to correctly understand the physics in both videos to pass. It's a tougher test of subtle understanding. And the third one is causal VQA. VQA for visual question answering. This directly tests causal reasoning. It asks the AI questions about the videos, like if action A hadn't happened, would outcome B still occur? Or to achieve goal C, what action should happen next? It really probes whether the AI understands the chain of cause and effect.
Wow. Okay. Those sound like much better ways to test actual understanding, not just pattern matching. So what did these benchmarks ultimately show about VJP2?
Well, they definitely highlighted strengths, particularly in prediction based on observation. It's a clear step up. But they also show where AI still lags behind us, humans, especially in the kind of hypothetical reasoning, you know, speculating about what might happen if things were different or complex, multi-step planning for totally novel situations. We're still much better at imagining those alternative futures.
Right. The gap is still there, even if it's narrowing.
Exactly. Which is why VJP2 isn't the end game. Meta has plans for what's next with these world models. One big focus is hierarchical temporal planning. The idea is to get AI to understand not just immediate actions, but also, like, the structure of events over longer periods. So it can plan really complex multi-step tasks. Think planning how to assemble furniture, not just picking up one screw.
Okay, understanding time and sequence on a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm. Another area is multimodal perception. Right now, VJP2 is mostly visual. The plan is to integrate sound, maybe touch, other senses. So the AI gets a richer, more complete picture of the physical world. Imagine it hearing the thud when something lands.
a more holistic understanding.
Yeah, and finally, they're planning for open source and community collaboration. They want to release the models, the benchmarks, get researchers everywhere involved in testing it, improving it, pushing it further.
That seems like a smart way to accelerate progress. So wrapping things up, what's the big picture takeaway here for AI, for robotics, for, you know, us?
I think it signifies AI starting to cross a really important line. It's moving beyond just describing the world or generating text about the world to actually beginning to understand the world dynamically, understanding how it works, how to interact with it, how to change it. For robotics, this could be absolutely transformative, a step towards much more adaptable, maybe even human-like robotic capabilities. And for AI research itself, it's forcing a rethink about what intelligence really requires. Maybe it's less about language tricks and more about grasping physical reality.
Yeah, that Jan LeCun quote really sticks with me. We want AI that can understand reality, not just AI that can tell stories. VJP2, it's clearly not perfect. Those benchmarks show the gap. But it feels like a really powerful glimpse of an AI future that thinks, well, maybe a bit more like we do, simulating the world before acting. So here's the final thought we want to leave you with today. If AI truly gets good at this, at imagining consequences, at understanding cause and effect almost intuitively, how does that change how we interact with machines every day? What happens when the technology around us doesn't just see the world, but starts to, well, almost feel how it works the way we do? Something to ponder.